it's a prison of endless possibility.
Hey everybody, Sam Adams here for the Watchers of the Plus. And as you know, I cherish podcasts with all my heart. I don't care how many men, women, and children I need to kill to get to do one. So I've had my fill of blood, and I'm here with Phil Ip K. Moselak. How you doing, Mose?
I'm doing well. You know, after that clunkiness of a start, we just got to get back into gear. You know, this happens every now and again. We got to pop the clutch a couple times, you know, make sure everything's running smoothly. Wow.
What do you mean running smoothly? That seems perfect.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Everybody, first take, in case you're wondering. We don't edit.
Yeah, I mean, why would we? It's absolutely ridiculous. But it's that time, because things have happened that I wasn't even aware of what was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, like, they just kind of pop up on the radar. And then there are a few things that I didn't watch, and I got a chance to watch them because somebody maybe, you know, a little truck fell off the box, and I saw it in somebody's Plex, so I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this. So, and that little gem was Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I got to say, you know, I love, you know, the first Ghostbusters for what it is. I never thought Ghostbusters 2 was worth the squirt, and there's one in between there that's... you know, an abortive mess. This one, hey, it was fun. It was fine.
Yeah, no, I was pleasantly surprised. Like I said, the ghost Egon at the end, spoiler alert, everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's, if, you don't know, if you're yet. Not expecting it by the end, you know, you're kidding yourself. He's in the whole movie. So, yeah. Yeah, that one got me. And I thought it was a nice balance of, let's do some new stuff. Let's mix the old stuff. I'll admit it's a little bit of a rehash of the first movie, but it seems like a lot of these successful reboots, that's what they are. I mean, that's what the Force Awakens was. That's what, and probably maybe a little bit to its detriment, but I mean, that's what some of these have done, is even Jurassic Park. I mean, Jurassic World is kind of Jurassic Park done again, except everything goes haywire with people there as opposed to just 10 people there, you know? So it's, but I mean, like I said, I was thrilled as a fan of Ghostbusters. As a kid, grew up watching it. I loved it and was like, oh, I'd watch another one of these. Like, I don't know if there will be another one, but they're totally,
you know, if they want to take this and branch it into other ways, I'd be fine with it. I mean, it doesn't have, you know, I think from the original Ghostbusters is that swarthy, like, I don't know, con men, you know, type of feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just didn't have that kind of dry tone to it. It had a little bit of it. I mean, I thought the actress that plays Egon's niece or granddaughter,
she's great. Yeah,
she brought kind of like that feel of Egon. But you know, and friggin', I wasn't really expecting Zod and Beastmaster. You know, that was the part that kind of threw me, which was Gatekeeper and Keymaster. It's like, are we really doing this again?
Yeah, like that's the only thing I thought was a little, although I thought it was interesting that there was like a guy that foresaw this and he was trying to make it happen and Egon was trying to keep it from happening. And
that's the whole book that he had. I can't remember what it's called right now. It just popped out of my head, but it was even Shandor. He's the guy that built that building.
Yeah. No, so I thought the whole thing was interesting. In my head, I don't know if you thought about this, because since Paul Rudd and the mom end up hooking up before, so in my head I was like, so does that mean Sigourney Weaver and her neighbor hooked up? What's his butt? Rick Moranis?
Yes.
And if so, does that mean the baby from the second movie is Rick Moranis' bastard child that he has nothing to do with?
I think they actually... I think they spelled that out in some way in the second one.
Yeah, they say something along the line. But in my head, I was like, oh, so
Rick
Moranis got some Sigourney Weaver booty in that movie. He was the key master.
Yeah, so when they say, you know, well, where was Rick Moranis in the second one? Well, his DNA was spilt all over.
Yeah. So no, I'm glad to hear you liked it, just because I feel like there's certain movies where sometimes people ask me what I think, and I go like, well, here's what I think as somebody who loves this stuff from as a kid. Like, that's right. My perspective. But like, I sometimes I'll even tell you, I'm like, I don't know if you'd like it, or you know, or you do think certain people would like it. But like, that's one where you're like, I need to like have somebody that didn't grow up putting Ghostbusters.
It feels like if you liked Ghostbusters 2016, you would hate this movie.
I don't even know if that's necessarily the case, but Ghostbusters 2016 was much more of a riff-tastic, you know, we're just gonna do it on the day and joke around kind of thing, and we have a loose plot.
That was barely a film.
Whereas I feel like this was more plotted, and even probably like the dry heat. Like, there's no way that kid is like spouting off these like dry barbs at these adults, and it's just improv.
Because you're saying because it was actually written.
Yeah, so there was actually some funny stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can always improv stuff and make it better, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everything improvised is better.
Chris Hemsworth's improvisation was probably
best. It's like the Bridesmaids effect. Yeah.
Yes.
Or the Judd Apatow of like how these comedy movies are made, that everyone started going like, oh, we just need to have hours and hours of improv and like get the gold out of there. And it's like, well, yeah. And with good improvisers too, but like, A, not everyone's great at it, and B, sometimes it fucks up the flow of your movie. Like, I'm always very interested in hearing like people go like, I need to cut 2 minutes, or I need to cut 5 minutes out of this movie. And it's like, how do you necessarily do that well? You know, because sometimes it's like you need the visual language of seeing things on screen. And so, but no, I'm like I said, I wholeheartedly approve this message. I loved Afterlife. I'm glad you liked it too.
So this episode is sponsored by Natural Light Ice for when the beer that you want isn't really around, and this one's the cheapest. But it gives you 5.9% alcohol, which is a little better than the average.
See, and my Sunday was brought, my Saturday probably more likely was brought to you by Modelo Especial, which has become the official rally beer of San Francisco 49ers fans. And apparently I'm going to have to drink a 6-pack plus every weekend until we lose.
Sounds fine.
And I just said we. I usually hate people that do that, but you know what? It's just easier. I know I'm not part of the team, but you know what? I've spent enough money on jerseys and hats shorts and shit that I'm an honorary member, much like the rest of the faithful out there.
Yeah, it's the Niner Nation, whatever they actually call it. You know,
we're trying to get tickets to go down to LA. We'll see if this happens or not.
There we go.
I'm calling it a pre-bachelor party.
Well, there we go. So let's talk about, we have a host of MCU shows that have come and gone, and frankly, I'm not sure if I would rewatch any of them, and I can't say for certain yet if I would rewatch this one, but Peacemaker has, I gotta say, DC's like TV stuff are 4A. Now, I'm only including in this right now, in my mind, is Doom Patrol and Peacemaker. I'm not a big fan of John Cena.
Oh, no, I have to, that's where I have to part ways. I'm not a wrestling fan of John Cena.
There you go. See,
a fan of actor John Cena. Okay. And I knew he was funny. Like, if you ever seen him in the movie that was supposed to be called Cock Blockers, but they were too scared to call it that, so it's just called Blockers.
No, but
it's about,
I know,
parents whose daughters are all going out to prom, and he's like the most worrywart of them all. Like, that's when I was like, oh, this guy can act. This guy's funny. Like, he's in another stuff too.
He was
in the last Fast and Furious movie as Dom's brother.
Yes.
Which does not require acting. That does not give me any.
that's minimal acting. I can't remember, what was that Will Ferrell movie with Wahlberg. He plays the other ex-husband at the end of it. Anyway, I mean, it was a bit part. But look, talk about going over the top. I mean, it was gory. It was a little bit too, I don't know. This is the same thing I have a problem with Doom Patrol. It's almost like they add a lot of swearing just for the sake of swearing. But it's a
good, I feel like that's a James Gunn does that a little bit.
It must be.
But I'm it doesn't bother me. I mean, I like Tarantino movies, and his, you know what his favorite word is, you know?
Yeah.
That's worse than an F word or an S word.
Yeah. But so I don't know. I mean, like, but I gotta be honest with you. I mean, I'm like, I can't find anything really necessarily like that striking. Like, okay, here's the one thing. So I was never, I knew of the Peacemaker in when I was reading comics. The only way I knew about him was because of the comic book Vigilante. Now, the way they portray the Vigilante in this is nothing short of ridiculous. I mean,
see, I knew nothing about either of these characters, so this is all new stuff to me. So,
I don't know if there was a rewrite and there was a new version of the comics that came out, or this was a James Gunn, like, just completely, like, recombining these characters and coming up with something different. I'm assuming that's the case. However, it bothers me a little bit, but at the same time, I'm okay with it. You know, it's like it's. You know, I thought the Vigilante character was interesting in the comics, but he was probably a little too serious. And so this kind of adds a whole new pep to it. You said something off air. What was it?
The way, especially in, I think it's, is it episode 3 where he's having trouble using the sniper rifle?
Yes.
And he jumps in and just is like, snipe, yeah. Snipe, snipe. It reminded me of what was it, Krabopulous Michael from Rick and Morty? Like, here I go a killing again. I was like, almost like, I wonder if that was a note they gave him. Like, oh, play it like Andy Daly did.
But I mean, is a good. It's a really fun juxtaposition of like this whole hee ho humming. I'm blowing these butterfly people away, and like in, you know, I mean. It's headshot after headshot. I mean, it's just red mist and mush.
Yeah, and that was just wild because I'm like, I think it's kind of crazy that for an 8-episode show or whatever it's going to be, maybe it's 9, I don't know. But for whatever it is, like, we're 4 in and we're still not very... I think in the 4th... Now, you haven't seen episode 4 yet.
I haven't seen 4.
They make a offhanded comment about, like, I don't know what these alien things are or something like that. So I don't know if they're... Like, we still don't really know what they are.
Well, they did. They explicitly said the word metahuman, so they're keeping that term going, and that the idea of these super, you know, people of some sort.
Yeah, I feel like that they own that term, whereas like the Marvel universe gets like mutants and
metahuman. The first time I really heard, I think I heard metahuman was probably in the Flash.
That's the first time I heard it too. Yeah,
I think that's when it was really. Became what they were linchpinning on. But look, I'm excited for it, and
yeah. So I'm loving Peacemaker. Like, I really don't have anything bad to say. I think it's interesting how they've made all these characters pretty deep and interesting. You know, you've learned more about pretty much all of them. Maybe not as much Mr. Economos or whatever his name is, but even him. You know, you've gotten this, like, Steve Agee's hilarious. So I've enjoyed watching him. Yeah, and, you know, interesting that Amanda Waller's daughter, isn't it? You know, I don't think any of us kind of saw that coming, or maybe you did from the comics. I don't know.
No, I mean, you know, look, I'm not a DC person, really.
Yeah, no, and so I've been enjoying it. Like, I think they've made this really – they've taken this character that was kind of a one-note bad guy in Suicide Squad that was funny, but, like, well, didn't really have a lot of depth to him, and now you're like, oh, he's this poor soul that's been tortured by his dad, and – made him grow up, and these, like, you'll find out more in episode 4 about, like, some of the shitty stuff his dad put him through growing up. And, you know, you see, like, how many superheroes have we ever seen crying in their trailer and then being embarrassed about it because somebody comes up to check on them and they're like, what, no, you were crying.
Fuck you. I'm not crying. Well, so. I'm very curious after, and we, you know, talking about rewatchability of certain things, like, I would love to get through this and then watch the Suicide Squad again.
Hold on, I've actually been tempted to go back because I kind of shotgunned the first 3 episodes. Like, I started it late, and so, but I kind of
I think they dropped the first three to start.
But I mean, like, I didn't watch it the night it came out, so I was like, okay. And then literally as soon as I got done with episode 3, I was like, when did they come out? Thursday? Damn it. Like,
I saw an article that James Gunn was upset about the skip button at the beginning of that, you know, that you could skip the intro. And I thought because that there was some sort of something that you would see. But I didn't catch the Where's Waldo part, but like it seems the same every beginning.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a problem because I usually skip the song intro, even on stuff I love. Like, I don't care. Like, I never need to hear the Friends song again. I never need to hear.
The only one I don't skip on is the house, is House MD. That powers me up to watch the show.
Yeah, even Game of Thrones. Skip. Although, really? Rewatchability. I don't know if I don't know when I'll go back to Game.
You're not going to.
I think I will. So, no, because I really loved the first, you know, five seasons or so. But and there were things I liked about the last season. I didn't think it was like total garbage, but it was totally like, I almost feel like they just should have taken it out of those guys' hands and been like, hey, look at, no, we want to keep this show running. You guys want to quit, then go ahead and quit, and we'll hire whoever you tell us to be the showrunner. And we'll make this 10 seasons and do it right. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the only thing they really fucked up with that was they were so like, well, no, these are the guys that made the show. And so we got to do right by them. And it was like, well, they could have just been like, you know, fucking, I don't think Seth MacFarlane's at every American Dad reading, you know, like, no. I think that sometimes you make a show and then your name's still on it, but like you put in other people in charge of it. Like, you know, the guys that made The Simpsons popular are not still writing The Simpsons. So there's ways of doing it. But
yeah.
But no, it's interesting you talk about rewatchability because I've thought about that. And I, you know, I probably said on the show, and I know I've told you, is that like, I think the ultimate judge of how good something is when you can watch it again and again. Because I mean, even like some of those old Marvel ones, like I do get, but like, I don't necessarily ever need to go back and watch The Hulk again or, you know, don't really love Thor 2 and stuff like that, where it's like, I can still go back and watch Iron Man and even Iron Man 2 sometimes, you know, or like
sure,
you know, some of the Captain America movies. But, you know, yeah, thinking about these Marvel shows, I mean, I think I'd watch WandaVision again. I think it's better watched in a big chunk than it is a half hour at a time. Like, it was a little too mystery boxy for me, but getting to watch, like, okay, you're seeing the cracks and things early and you're picking up a little bit, maybe some things. But like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, watch that again? Eh, not really. What If? Maybe an episode or here or there. Like, I'd never watch the Party Thor episode again, or maybe I'd watch the finale again just because, but that's also because it's like, who knows, some of these characters might be showing up in the movies here pretty soon. So it might be interesting to watch that again or whatever. But what else did we get? I liked Hawkeye enough that I think I'd watch that again.
I bet you won't.
But yeah, I think Hawkeye and WandaVision are the only two. Am I missing one? Am I missing a show? I feel like we had one other live action show.
Oh, Loki.
I'd watch Loki again. That's for sure what I'd watch.
Well, it's funny because I canceled my.
I've actually watched an episode or two of it again, but then I fell off it. Oh, you canceled your subscription?
I'll turn it back on at some point.
You'll turn it on in like March when Moon Knight comes out.
So, speaking of Moon Knight,
yeah, so, trailer looks good.
I know that there's like 50 people that love Moon Knight, and so a lot of people are excited about this. I think ish. Again, he's one of those characters I think looks cool. I didn't know this was a UK-based character. I didn't know that.
I know so very little about Moon Knight. Like, I think that's one of the things I'm kind of enjoying. I think that's probably like the Peacemaker and Guardians of the Galaxy effect kind of thing. I almost like some of these lesser-known people getting things. And then there's not so much like weight on
baggage.
Like, well, he has to have this. Exactly. He has to have that.
I agree.
I think it's one of those things where they just look at it and they go like, wow, Moon Knight looks really cool. All right, let's take all the cool stuff from him. And then like, what do we want to change to Marvel, you know, MCU it up. So,
and it wasn't overtly like, here's the Moon Knight.
That's the trope we got to end. We should come up with a hashtag. Don't wait until the last fucking episode to give you the costume.
Well,
like, I'm over that.
There's a high degree. I think
they've done it with Daredevil. Yep. They've done it with, you know, well, I mean, I guess Luke Cage, not really, because he had the one episode where he had the comic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've done it with this Iron last Fist. One, Hawkeye, you know,
yeah.
You know, Iron Fist has kind of done it too. So it's like, this whole like wait till the last episode to finally show you what it's going to, and it's like, I don't think you need that. Like, you either have it. I mean, if it's an organic thing, like I feel like Daredevil, it made a little bit more sense just because like, the black suit thing was kind of awesome.
We'll call it costume. We'll call hashtag costume at the end.
Yeah. So I, that's the thing that it's like, you know, She-Hulk, I guess Hulk doesn't really have a costume. So it doesn't really care.
It depends on who she's aligned with at the time.
Yeah. And what else we get? Moon Knight. Yeah. So if he doesn't have that costume until episode 5, which I don't think that'll be the case.
Is it only 5 episodes?
It's probably 5 or 6. I would guess. Like they've been doing 6 or 9. So
I almost wish they would just do these as movies and like, just like 2 Disney Plus, the movie.
Yeah. Almost do like a part 1, part 2.
Yeah.
Like 2.5 hour movies or something like that. Like, I think that some of the things would benefit for that. Like I'm trying to think, like, I bet,
because I don't think a lot of these people understand how to make episodic TV.
I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier would have been better done as 2 movies, maybe with 2 different focuses. You have the first half be the focus on like the buddy cop thing. And then the second half is, why don't you guys understand how hard it is to be a black man trying to accept being Captain America? Like that's and then that way it's not so muddled from episode to episode, and you could have 2 different kind of tones with it. And you can
break them into 3s, and so you have a nice sandwich.
Well, or just do what's best for streaming. Like, I think that's the thing that's wonderful is like, you see these episodes, some are 35 minutes, some are 45. Like, they do that. They go that far with it, but why even stick to the structure of it has to be 6 episodes, 8 episodes, 9 episodes? Why, like you say, why not have it be a 3, like the Get Back documentary for the Beatles could have stretched that thing out over like 10 episodes if they wanted to, but instead they made it 3, like 3 hour episodes.
So okay. Like, so if I'm in the Disney, like, I've got to make money for the program, and this is the whole reason I did this. For there was a specific reason why I did it. I was like I'm turning off Disney Plus. It'll still carry on for a month, and I can decide if I'm going to reconstitute it. The problem is, they did to me exactly what their plan was. They spread these things out so that it bridges the gap. So even if I'm not watching for a month, I still pay for a month because I'm waiting for.
Yeah, like, no. They've got me hook, line, and sinker. I like literally look at it like, okay, well, I'm watching Boba Fett right now, and that'll be out for like what, another 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's the middle of February, and Moon Knight's coming out in a month, so I'm not going to cancel then.
You got it. See,
and then, you know, it's so smart. I think it's smart, and I, like I said, I when they first rolled this out, I was like, I think they look at it and then they go, huh? Would we rather get everyone's $4.99 a month? For sure.
Bullshit, $7.99.
Oh, is it really that much now?
See what I'm saying to you?
I thought it maybe was $5.99.
No, they raised the price on it.
Well, see, and that's where the thing, it's like you get over $10, it's like, okay, well, $10, I'm expecting something new up there all the time and not just
you gotta give me a deep library.
Mickey Mouse fucking expose that you did or something, or those terrible Simpson shorts or whatever.
Well, like, and I'll scrub through it and there's like duplicates on my screen. I'm just like, this is no bueno. You know, the one good thing that I did see out of the Moon Knight teaser trailer is it gave me the feeling, I don't think they're going to go this way, but it gave me the feeling of Legion, where it became more of a psychological, you know,
well, I think they're going to play with some mental health stuff in this. They're obviously, you know, part of the character is that he has like split personalities. So they may be just leaning into that and maybe, you know, diving into the, but you know, it's weird to say it's a mental health thing when he actually does have split personalities and one of them some sort of superhero, you know? So
I'm going to be glad that I don't have a lot going into this because I can kind of see it for what they're presenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think you were onto something. It's like bringing these characters in that don't have a lot of fandom around them that they can retool, you know, again, like Peacemaker, that comic was probably a low selling, you know, garbage He was a big character.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know anything about him. I was literally, most of the people they added in Suicide Squad, I was like, well, this person's new. I don't know who Weasel is. I don't know who this Martian lady is. I don't know, you know, I think maybe one character they added. Oh, well, I mean, I obviously knew who King Shark was, but like, well, Bloodsport, okay. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I only knew some of those characters from having like some of the DC, like, who is, like, they're basically like, the monthly comics where they had every character in like in Marvel is the Marvel Universe ones. And so you just, you know, look at every single character.
So, you know, one thing I noticed that was interesting was the last episode of Peacemaker was directed by Jody Hill. And I don't know if you know, Jody Hill is, it's a, like a collaborative partner with Danny McBride, who helped do like, I want to say Ricky Bobby, but that's not his name. The first like Danny McBride thing about the pitcher that
Eastbound Down and Out.
Yeah, so they like did Eastbound and Down together. I think they did Vice Principals together.
And now
second season just came out of Righteous Gemstones. So I don't know if you've ever seen that.
The first season was very good.
Yeah, it's very good, and I think they're about three episodes deep now, three or four. I've only watched part of the first episode. I was all excited because I was trying to get my fiance into it, and she had heard. It's funny, she won't listen to me. But if Big Bay Mornings recommends a show, she'll check it out. And then I like showed her a YouTube clip of what I thought was like the funniest part of last season. She was like, okay, this isn't for me. I'm like, no, it's hilarious. Damn it. I should just put the show on.
I thought Vice Principal was fantastic.
Oh, I think it's really fun. It's some great Walter Goggins. I mean, Baby Billy, in the Vice Principals. He's great. You know, him getting in trouble with his like mother-in-law and stuff. So Righteous Gemstones is back. Like I said, I haven't even gotten through the first episode, but you know, warning to y'all out there, there's a really funny show that's back, and it seems like it's going to be just as funny the second time around.
And if you're easily offended, don't watch it.
If you're a little overly religious, it's maybe not for you.
I would concur with that. If you're willing to, you know, put your nose into something deep for a little bit, I think it's great. So I tricked you with this, and we talked about it, but you don't remember, and you didn't put it together. I said, "Welcome to Oa," and this happened to be a reference to a part of a soundtrack that I was listening to, and I was watching the movie, and that was Green Lantern.
Oh God!
And you simply said, why?
You're like, I haven't watched the last episode of Peacemaker, but I got around to rewatching Green Lantern.
Okay, look, the last episode of Peacemaker was interrupted by what's coming up later, which we're going to talk about next. But look, on paper, like if you look at the IMDb, you know, the Google of Green Lantern, it has a stunning cast of member, like in the whole thing, like these are all like top tier actors for the most part. I mean, you're Blake Lively. I mean, not really, but you know, there are good ones in there. It was scored by freaking Howard. What's his smell? James Newton Howard. I mean, it has on paper.
Well, I'm on here. Right. Well, see, Greg Berlanti wrote it.
Yep,
Mark Guggenheim, which Berlanti is like the one behind every DC thing ever.
Yeah.
Stars. That's what I want to see. Full cast and crew. So writing credits.
Look,
we got Peter Skarsgård, Mark Strong, Tim Robbins, Taika Waititi. I forgot.
Yes.
I always forget that he's the best friend in that.
I know.
Angela Bassett.
And who does she play?
Dr. Waller. Oh, so she's playing Amanda Waller in this, huh?
There were so many pieces.
Tamura Morrison, aka Boba Fett.
Yes, right. Exactly. To see what I'm saying?
I'm still scrolling down to see if
even though Tamura Morrison is not a good actor, and we're gonna get to that. But on paper, this movie
Clark Duncan. How about that?
Look who played
Clancy Brown.
Yes, the fish boy is Jeffrey not Jeffrey Wright.
Fish boy. Jeffrey Rush.
Jeffrey Rush. Academy.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, he's an Academy Award winner, I think, number one. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you've got a lot. Yeah,
how did they? How did they do this?
because Jeffrey Rush was playing a CG character.
Mm-hmm. So they could just give him sit in a booth somewhere.
That's right.
Like we do.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, kind of surprising.
This movie, had it been executed right, would have laid a strong foundation. After rewatching it, I was like, you know what? There are so many good things in this movie that they could have latched onto. And like they set up the entire the second one with Mark Strong becoming Sinestro, or like the actual evil Sinestro, which they don't do. And you could have had the whole Green Lantern corpse. Could have been great, and it just wasn't. But like, I mean, it's not a good movie. I'm willing to go on record with that.
No, but there is something about some of those bad ones that are fun to rewatch. I mean, heck, that's one I would watch and then go back and listen to How Did This Get Made, because they covered Green Lantern. And
I'm gonna tell you The Flophouse did it, and it was great.
They had somebody on from Green Lantern or something that was like, either they're like a Green Lantern expert, or they were in the movie or something, and they're just like, yeah, I don't know what happened.
it was done at the wrong time. However, if it went forward, we would have never gotten Deadpool. So,
that's true. What year did this stupid thing come out? I think it came out after the Dark Knight movies, right?
Oh yeah, I mean this movie was going to set up a lot of, I think, what would have end up being the DCEU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just damn. Like, no, it's just a swing and a miss. So, but I know that's what's nice about Peacemaker, is that it is nice to actually say something positive about DC. You know, they're not, you know, they're trying to get it right. They're doing their best. But yeah. I think it comes to like the matching the creators with the right characters. Like Matt Reeves with Batman so far, all the trailers, all the stuff looks pretty good. Like, we're going to get a detective story. We're going to have a mystery, like weird, like finally. And it's not just like, what's, you know. Yeah,
it's not the over-the-top regurgitation that we've seen.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe we're going to get a Court of Owls, or we're going to get some new stuff, not just the same old. You know, I mean, we are getting a third Catwoman, but still. Yeah, hopefully they match that up a little bit. So, well, want to shift over to Mr. Fett?
Well, hold on before we do that. So I'm going to be short and sweet on this. The whole reason I missed episode 4 was because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I didn't know it, and then The Expanse episode 6, the final season, just dropped on Amazon. Mm. If you're not into The Expanse, well, now you know that there's a definitive ending. Apparently, the books go on further, but they're not doing any more of them. And really, Amazon saved the day, because after Sci-Fi canceled it after two or three seasons, Amazon picked it back up. It's an expensive and very good-looking show. I highly recommend it if you like multiple storylines that are kind of tying into something. My most rudimentary way of explaining it is, it's kind of like Game of Thrones in space. You just muted yourself.
That's a good selling point.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like if you like Game of Thrones, it's that kind of interweaving narrative where, like, if I told you where this movie, where this series starts and where it ends, you would be amazed, because it starts out almost a noir, Blade Runner-ish type scenario, and you end up with a war of three worlds between Mars, Earth, and what's called the Belters, people who live in between or live in space and space stations.
Hmm. Oh, sounds interesting. Maybe I'll have to check it out, because sometimes it is nice knowing that something's got an end to it, or you know how many seasons it's going to be. Because I think I have the next Game of Thrones, and nobody's ever really thrown this out or really like bought in on this to me. But I think that the X-Men should be the next Game of Thrones. Like, I honestly think it's like you got a team in San Francisco, you've got a team in New York, you've got the Hellions, which are and you can make a kind of younger teen kind of things. You have the Hellions in Boston, you've got Excalibur in London, you've got, heck, you could have mutants in Australia. You could have it be a world, you know, kind of one of those things like Game of Thrones, where it's like different things are happening in different places. They're all affecting one another. You know, you could have it be a little bit political because, you know, it's about, do we do things peacefully? Do we do things, you know, violently? Do we, how, where, what's the middle ground? When's it defending yourself versus being aggressive? All that kind of stuff. And I think that you could have a huge cast. You know, you have people who are at the X Mansion in New York. You have people who are at the Emma Frost Academy in Boston. You have the Hellfire Club be a part of it. You have just so many different, like, I mean, I just have a hard time that seeing how Marvel's going to attack the X-Men without it being like, okay, well, half our movies are X-Men movies now, because there's just so many different teams and characters and iterations. I mean, unless it's going to be kind of like they did with the Avengers, where it's like, well, we're going to eventually build a team, we're going to cycle through them contracts, and then we're going to go on to the next one. So it's like, yeah, we might start off with the X-Men, and then you're going to get a Generation X, and then you're going to get a new.
Okay,
mutant,
so
this, or, well, yeah, or if you mutants, wanted to really blow it up and you wanted to be Game of Thronesy, you know, you do it all at once.
So, okay, now both of us watch Game of Thrones, and I don't know how to answer this straight away, but would you have been okay? Because I'm going to think about this as I say it. Would you have been okay with, you know, let's say they did the first two, maybe three seasons of Game of Thrones exactly the way they did it, and then have a movie that maybe even was in the theater that expanded a story? It wouldn't have been season four, but it could have been somewhere overlapping in there in some capacity, and then go into season four. The reason I say this is because I'm wondering, based on what you're talking about, is like, if I'm Disney, like, I could grassroots these stories. I could find out, do people like the New Mutants better? Do they like this? Now, you're going to have to get a cast, a veritable, some stars, but you're going to have to get some unknowns, because this is pretty big.
Well, you know, and that's one thing I kind of forget about when I love, you know, when I talk about us fan casting something, is that, you know, I'm always excited to see what star is going to sign up for the next movie or whatever.
And sure.
Really, they built their success on the unknowns of a Chris Hemsworth. Like, Chris Evans was not a hot star when he started this. I mean, he was
100%
no. He was kind of a bro, you know, that, like, and that turned into, you know.
Well, the thing he did before that was really Snowpiercer.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Ruffalo was not as, I mean, he was a well-regarded actor, but he was not as much of a household name.
No, he wasn't A-list.
I would say that probably the most A-list guy they went was the original Hulk, and then they kicked that guy out of there, Edward Norton.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel like that's the thing that's kind of tough, is that you have to almost take a step back and be like, okay, well, and I think that's the thing I'm excited about, the fact that, like, we're getting Daredevil and Wilson Fisk back, the same actors, is maybe that means that Anya Taylor-Joy can come back as Magic in a different iteration of the New Mutants.
Please, I hope
maybe
so.
Maybe that means
She's gonna get
your face
can
come
this.
Back as Wolfsbane and not have to do that terrible Irish accent or something. Like,
I don't know. I think we could get her, because I don't believe that she's gonna. I think Game of Thrones ruined her. However, I think Taylor Joy, I think she's gotten too big. I think they muffed it, she's a star now.
It's a whole new contract now.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe that's the thing. Like, imagine you could make a movie just about her, where it's like her falling into hell or whatever,
sure,
through one of those portals.
But look,
and you
have Ben Kingsley. Ben Kingsley is an Oscar-winning actor. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's in the MCU, but it's not a major player. So you can have these A-list, but you
have that's why they like to play bad guys, is because they know they can just be killed off, or they can make one. They're not going to come back for 10, unless you're Loki
or the fake Mandarin.
Yeah, exactly. So no, yeah. So I think that, to answer your question, I would, but I do think that this is where they are muddying the waters a little bit. But I think that's why we've seen things that have been a little bit more lower stakes, like, oh, Wanda was assaulting a town, not like the whole world. And, you know, Kingpin and all them, it's all about like a couple of people.
But you can also field test it. Like, if people don't like it in on the Disney Plus series, like if you do, let's just say you did New Mutants or you did West Coast Avengers, you could, they could field test and be like, okay, that really didn't work well. And then they can pick and choose, well, what were the things that did work well? And we can use them in a bigger, larger movie.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. And that's another thing too, is that like you could do a season or two of, you know, you can even call it, you don't have to call it X-Men. You know, they're calling it stuff like House of X. You know, you could call it, yeah, you think you call it House of X, and it just is everybody with an X gene in it. And, you know, you pop up different little things. And that's the thing, you don't necessarily need to have like, all right, so we did the Hellions, so we need to cast every Hellion that shows on the comic books. Like, no, you just have students there, and you have Emma Frost, and you have her be part of the thing, and then she's also part of the what, you know, whatever. And but like I said, thinking about how Marvel's done things, they seem like they kind of want to do this established things, and then they're slowly rolling out replacements for these people. Maybe that's what their next iteration will be, is that, okay, they're going to start off with like a more classic X-Men team. Maybe, I think that when they do it, introduce it, it's probably going to be kind of like a 90s comic book version. Like, we're going to get a lot of those popular people on a team. And then what 5-10 years from now, what's that?
What If got delayed? I'm sorry, I had to say it because it was just right in there. I didn't mean to derail you, but like that was one of the things that has gotten delayed.
And I'm curious how much this alters the plan of things getting delayed. Like, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was supposed to be out first and they came out second. Like, did that really fuck up their stuff, or was it really not so bad? Like, I think one of the things that I've heard is that the reshoots on Doctor Strange, because it was originally supposed to be before Spider-Verse, and then they said that when they flip-flopped the dates, they had to rewrite some things and do some reshoots and everything. So
it was before Spider-Verse?
It was originally on the slate, it was.
Wow.
Or no Way Home. Sorry, we're calling
it Spider-Verse. Okay, okay, okay.
No, sorry. The latest Spider-Man. Basically, gotcha. Live-action Spider-Verse.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be before that, so I think that they had to do some rewriting around that part of it too. So yeah, I wonder how much I think that they, especially with COVID, they probably are trying to make things a little more malleable. And I've heard the Mr. Sunday movies and those guys theorize that sometimes they throw four or five things into a movie and then they see what gets the most interaction and they go, oh wow, everyone's really pointing at this map of Wakanda from Iron Man 2, we better put Black Panther in a prediction. Or like, oh, they won't stop talking about Namor, you know.
I think you can forget about that. But the,
what, you don't think Namor is in the next Black Panther movie?
I just have a feeling it's a no.
I think that would be a good way to kill T'Challa if you wanted to. Like, yeah, he's got that suit, but you can't breathe underwater in that suit. Like, you have a tidal wave take out his plane or something, and you have Namor. That's the whole thing. You have Namor versus Wakanda. Bring in Storm. And I'm just kidding.
I have a strong premonition that the power of Peter Parker has had them revise things, because they've been taking dump after dump. Let's just be really candid with ourselves and put on our truth hats. They have not had very really successes except for No Way Home. And so if I am going to, you know, prognosticate a little bit here, I'll bet
you mean for like the last year?
Yes.
I don't know. I thought Shang-Chi was a success.
No, it really, not financially, it was not a success.
I think that was partially,
it was not hitting. It was not hitting where they needed to be. We can agree on that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it was nowhere near, but let's look up the, okay, what is Shang-Chi box
office? Yeah. Look up Box Office Mojo. So where I'm going with that is I believe that these reshoots are putting Tom Holland into some of these films.
I mean, 430 million which is not that's making money. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're hoping money. That's making a billion, you know, that's probably $200 million budget. And they're going, we only made $230 million, which is kind of ridiculous. And they couldn't call that a failure, but I see what, you know, they put that kind of investment in it, expecting to get 5 times the return, not twice, you know,
Sam, look, I mean, look, I'm speaking as myself. It's like, as a fan of these things, and that in Eternals, I had no interest in. I wanted to see Black Widow just to see it. Was it as good as it could have been? No, it wasn't, because it was a transfer of power. Instead of coming out when it was supposed to come out, you know, and I think if they even had done it then, you wouldn't have had the
Black Widow made less than Shang-Chi.
See what I'm saying? I mean, like, but that's what I'm getting to. It's like, I mean, and then like, but then you put down the Captain Marvel thing. Captain Marvel supposedly made $1 billion. Now that was in ticket sales. I don't think that would, my conspiracy hat on that is very, very high. I think that those numbers were extremely padded out. So because
what do you think? You think Disney's buying tickets at theaters?
150%. Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I don't know.
They couldn't do it during COVID. They could pad those stats. I'm telling you. I know you don't want to hear it, and people will be up in arms like, oh, how can you say that? Well, I know.
Believe in some conspiracies. There's just sometimes
when a movie is not strains. Chances are, when a movie is not very good, it doesn't make as much money as it should. And even though that came out in between two huge movies, I don't see it making $1 billion. It didn't. Something doesn't square with me. My point is, I believe that there's also reshoots with the Marvels and the Ms. Marvel TV show. I believe you will see some sort of Tom Holland magic sprinkled on it, because that's who people want to see. Tom Holland as Spider-Man and even if they did, like, you know, multiverse and you know, had Andrew Garfield in one of them, that could be very big. You know, just putting a little bit of Spider-Man on something changes it completely, and they know that now.
Well, you know what it is? It's kind of the same thing they did with Iron Man. You know, put a little Iron Man in your Spider-Man, put a little Iron Man in your Captain America.
Right. I mean, I don't think
that's anything new. And I am very curious, because they do have Holland signed up for one more, like, appearance, not necessarily for a solo movie, but for just like an appearance in something. And then you could tell they were doing the contract dance in the press. You know, they're saying that they wanted him back, and him being saying, oh, I'm not sure, we'll see, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's making sure he gets paid for his next 6 movies.
That's all there is.
Which is fine by me. I mean, I'm, you know, make that money, boy. You know, so,
yeah, I mean, do it.
Especially since his other movies aren't hitting so well. It's like, well, you better make that Spider-Man money now, so that when you're done, you know, you can go make whatever indie bullshit you want to make, and maybe, exactly, maybe you find your next.
Essentially, his character right now is the solid booster rocket that they can attach onto almost any movie, and as long as it's tied in correctly, people are going to want to see it, because it has some sort of connection to Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, so I think that's not far off, and I mean, they've set some stuff up. I mean, we've got I'm sure the black suit and Venom are coming, some sort of version of that down the line. You know, who knows, we may get a Hobgoblin evil Ned Leeds. We could get some different female characters besides a Mary Jane, and you know.
Can I just tell you, as the father of two 16-year-old girls, if you sprinkle some Tom Holland on something, it goes a long way. And now you have two people who normally might not go to a Marvel movie, rather than the typical, you know, 40-some-year-old person who's going, you know, because they read it, you know. So you're bringing in a completely different demographic.
Now, where do you think they'd sprinkle him in next, looking at the release schedule?
Well, that's it's definitely Multiverse of Madness. I would hand.
Oh, you think he's going to be there, huh?
100%.
And I've heard some interesting stuff that they're talking about throwing everything at the wall, like maybe having Tom Cruise show up as Iron Man for like a scene, and like because they talked about him being Iron Man in the '90s, or like doing some stuff of like characters that never actually made it to screen, but like, you know, doing a Wesley Snipes T'Challa or something like that, or like I've heard some all kinds of different crazy things, but yeah, just thinking out of the top of my head.
Where else am I going to sprinkle them? I'm going to definitely sprinkle them on the Marvels. The Marvels definitely need some sort of supercharger.
That's going to be in space. Nobody knows who Spider-Man is. How are they going to get in touch with him to take him to space to teach?
They're going to have the little freaking Miss Marvel.
That's going to be a lady movie. That's going to be.
I'm telling you. If they don't sprinkle the Tom,
but I do think maybe. I mean, this would be great. Comic fans would love this because they have a relationship in the comics, and they've already started a relationship on screen, is Spider-Man and Daredevil. And you could even have some fun stuff of Daredevil being like, I feel like I know you. Where do I know you from? And he's like, what? No, you don't know me. And he's like, And he's like, I did some work for this kid recently, but I don't remember his name, you know, or something like that. Where like maybe he's not quite as affected by it because he can remember like things from
that would really like bust
character, like his extra senses or something. But I know, just I mean, you've already seen them on screen together, like, and they've got a relationship. And maybe that was their ode to their relationship in the comics, was just him popping in there to defend him for one scene. But I think that if you were trying to get, I don't know what they're going to do with the next iteration of Daredevil. Like, is that going to be a TV show? I mean, they say he's going to be in that. They say the rumor is that he'll show up in the Echo show. But so is he just going to be relegated to TV again? I mean, I'd love to see Charlie Cox get his own movie. It'd be even great if it was just a Daredevil and Spider-Man movie, like much like it was like Hulk and Thor in the last Thor movie.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be very interesting. Like, I don't care about that Echo show. That's not my bag of tea.
Well, and there's part of me that almost wonders, is that going to go? Because I didn't care about that character that much. And I was so like, okay, what's her cool? Like, I'm deaf, but like, you know, like Daredevil's blind, but he can hear sounds and he can do stuff to overcome it. She's deaf. And it's like, oh, she's deaf. And she's like an okay lip reader. I was like, okay, like that's not the coolest. Like, she was still kind of a badass, but like, I don't know.
In a land of masks, how are you going to do that?
Yeah, I was just expecting something cooler to be done with it. I thought it was neat how they used her like prosthetic as like a weapon. Like, I thought that was a neat thing. And that it being a weapon without it being like ridiculous, like the Kingsman movie where the lady's got like knife feet or whatever the fuck that was.
Like
where it's just a normal foot, but it's like obviously it's you know, got some titanium or something in it that she can kick people's ass.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if that show's going to go or not. And I guess allegedly it is, but who knows? I think that could turn into a Daredevil show.
They're taking
in the flick of a writer's room.
I think,
you know,
I think they're looking at a lot of characters, and this is like
Daredevil showing up in She-Hulk, or at least Matt Murdock is showing up in She-Hulk. He's got like, if they're going to start using him just in a courtroom like that, then there's no way that they're going to have six episodes of someone being a lawyer and not have that lawyer show up.
Yeah, it would make sense to me. I
feel like you've got to start using him. He's not young. I mean, he's not old, but he's not young. Like,
Hulu. I heard Hulu, but it doesn't make any sense to me just because, so they can give it the R rating. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would like the aspect of keeping it a little bit darker because I liked that about the old show, but I don't know if that works for their whole strategy. It seems like their whole strategy is like, subscribe to our Disney Plus and watch our movies and you'll get everything.
I don't think that and again, this is the proof in the pudding on this, is the series that I've seen out of Disney Plus are not good, are not as good as they could be. And when I put a Daredevil up against them, like, I don't know, guys. I mean, this is if you don't do it right, you're really gonna piss off a lot of people who loved three seasons of Daredevil.
And those I would say so far Disney Plus is 50-50 on the live action stuff. Any maybe I'll even give
exactly. But on the you will screw up a character that has a awesome reputation as a serialized show.
But I mean, like, I thought Hawkeye was a hit for me. Like, I got just the amount of just the right amount of sadness out of him. Like, I get it; he's still bummed about Nat, even though he saved everybody else. And but like they also like I thought they did a better job of a buddy comedy thing with him and new Hawkeye, Lady Hawkeye, as what do you call it? Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like I was expecting Falcon and Winter Soldier to be much more of the banter stuff, and it had pops of that. But then, like I said, it was so up and down with like how serious it had a very serious topic it wanted to tackle, and then it had like. It just didn't balance the lightness with the heavy stuff as well, and so
they got to be very careful.
Whereas I feel like Loki had that balance pretty well, Hawkeye had that balance pretty well, WandaVision. So I mean, those three, I think Loki, Hawkeye. So let's say they're 3 for 5. They're hitting 600 about. That's just not you'd like to do better than that, but not every show on HBO is Watchmen level good, you know. By the way, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the things I realized the other day. Sometimes you can't listen to people's opinions on TV shows besides who you trust. I was listening to Rogan with I forget what they call it, the BLM, the Bud Light Men.
Yeah,
with Shane Gillis,
Bush Me Boys.
Yeah,
Mark
Norman and Ari Shaffir, and Rogan wouldn't stop talking about how what a great movie Watchmen was, but how the show was just okay, and I was just like. My mind is exploding, and I like the Watchmen movie. I'm not bagging that, but I'm like, you can watch that show. And I was like, yeah, it's all right, you know, whatever. I'm like,
look,
I think it's one of the most mind blowing shows ever.
See, but I think if you look over general consensus, I don't know. Again, I never watched it. I just something about it didn't ring with something. I couldn't figure out that world after Watchmen, so it just didn't. It didn't scratch an itch that I needed to delve into. All right, so here's the other thing. We go to Boba Fett. Again, I don't like to shit on things, but
you feel like he says Boba Fett wrong?
Yes,
Boba Fett.
Something's wrong, and he tells everybody that like somehow like he's not wearing his helmet, and he's telling people that he's Boba Fett and whatnot. I'm like, it seems like you'd want to keep that a secret. I don't know, like by being at the mask and you don't have your armor, like you'd want to be like more, like a little bit more undercover.
I would think that I think he does take his helmet off a little bit too much. I understand he's not strict Mando like our Mando.
Correct. Yeah.
I do think that there's times where it's like, you know, you're there to be intimidating. Like, I get it. He's trying to be more respectful, so he's taking his mask off.
Maybe, well, and he always is putting coins in his helmet. I mean, it's just weird.
Yeah.
That third episode, the whole Mod UK like Vespa cyclist thing. I saw stuff about it, and I knew I just didn't want to watch it. I'm sorry.
You know, for a show that's done so good. I mean, these Disney Plus Star Wars things have been so good about like. Getting what makes Star Wars great, you know, giving us like to go like, okay, we need a motorcycle gang. What kind of motorcycle should we make?
And well,
it's
we
like,
got okay, swoop well,
you
bikes.
Have, you have speeders. Like we yeah. have multiple different kinds of speeders you could use. You could even have the ones like stupid Ray had in that one scene in
the refrigerator?
Force Awakens where it was like the big refrigerator. Everyone's like, yeah. Oh, cool. I can't wait to see more of this. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. That was the only scene you get to see of it.
Yeah.
You know, you could have been all kinds of different stuff. Instead, it looked like someone took a like pimped out 57 Chevy and then shrunk it down to the size of like a motorcycle slash like bumper car.
Yeah.
And like they're riding it around and like, yeah, they lift off the ground and look like they're like hovering. But they don't have that like lived in. They look like they were just made. Like
yeah.
they're supposed to be these street toughs. Like
how exactly, did they get these? Yes.
How did
yes.
they get these brand new like motorcycles that Dexter Jester must have made for his like diner customers or something in the prequel? Like it seemed too new and shiny and too fake. Like it just didn't even look like a thing. Like I was just kind of like, how did this get past the eye of like
I don't know.
Favreau and everything. So, but I'd say that's my biggest complaint about it. Like, I like how he's been slowly kind of amassing his own little like mob. Like, it's like, yep, okay, I had Fennec, I got the two pig guards.
He's getting a crew together.
Yeah. He's doing it without Rick and Morty's crew. Yep. Crewnator 5000.
God damn it, I'm in.
Yeah, so other than that, I've liked it. And you know, the last episode, they gave us a big tease that it sounds like we're going to get Mando in a future episode when they were talking about hiring people for help.
It seems as though to me, like, I like the episode 4 because it gave us a little backstory about kind of where we, like, it was a crossover where we kind of saw where Fennec and him converged.
Yeah, and I was glad we kind of finally got there. I didn't want to, like, and I will say that as it went on, I enjoyed the backstory of what happened to him and the Tusken Raiders more and more as I watched more of it. Like, I thought it was kind of like, oh, why are they dragging this out? Like, and even though, like, oh, we're going to go back to the thing to get my armor. Well, like, dude, you blasted out of it with your armor on. So why did you think your armor was still in the monster? That was one thing I didn't understand.
100%. 100%.
That felt like a weird, like, oh, we missed a note. Like, writing problem.
Well,
there. Like,
I think
we didn't
because
fix that
I think
thing.
I think because he passed out and then his armor was taken from him, but he didn't know, like, and so he assumed that maybe he didn't that it was in there,
but
or something.
Did he think while he was asleep his armor fell off and rolled down the hill and he didn't? You know, like, that's the thing. I didn't quite get what he was. I mean, unless maybe you saw him, like, but I was thinking it wouldn't make sense if he took stuff off because it would burn him. And yeah, I just didn't get why that was, like,
again.
It seemed like almost like a. We need something for these two to go do together. So we're going to have them do this. And they never took the time to, like, explain why he thought that.
I don't know. It's like in this idea of, like,
it would have made more sense if he's like, hey, we're going to go check and see if my armor's in here because
I need it.
I don't know where it went. And so maybe I took it off in my fever dream or something and flushed down, or I don't know. Or maybe, you know, how about this? You have it be that the stuff is sizzling on him. And so he takes everything off, so none of it drips on him. And then he passes out. And then, you know, or something like that. Like, there
again,
you go.
Again, you're writing the story for them. And that's where like this, and this idea of softening up Boba Fett. Again, we don't have a whole lot of information about Boba Fett.
And so, I could have used, if we're going to do flashbacks, I'd like to see him some flashbacks to when he was being a badass, like, and doing shit that maybe he regrets now.
Yeah. I think we filled in a lot of details in our imaginations. And so it becomes a kind of a conflict of, well, like, I really thought he would be like this. He didn't, you know, the minimal lines that he has. I mean, what is it, like, maybe 3 lines, maybe. You know, mm-hmm. We expanded in our imaginations what Boba Fett was. And so, like, whenever we see it, we're like, wait a minute. So this guy, like, somehow grows a conscience? I thought he was some sort of, like, badass bounty hunter. And I'm not opposed to a character changing, but it would be nice to see sort of, like, is he a bad guy before he goes to the Sarlacc pit? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I mean, yeah, did he just have a reputation?
Exactly.
You know, kind of thing?
Like, we don't know.
That's, I mean, I think if we were going to do flashbacks, we could have done. I mean, that's the thing too. Like, the whole, like, what happened to him after the Sarlacc pit, that could have just been the first episode. You know, maybe that's the reason it's not done that way, is because the flashback stuff is stronger than the present day stuff. But I don't know. I think I'm reserving judgment. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think for the most part, it's been pretty good. But yeah, there's just weird little things like that where you go, oh, little plot line thing here. Or
was this like, was it like, so you can make toys? Like, and even though the toys aren't selling, what's the play here?
Yeah. And I'm curious, like we talked about how, like, people don't buy action figures like they used to. And yeah, they're still little kids do, kind of, I guess. But I wonder at what point you stop doing stuff, like, you stop having that be a factor in when you make these shows.
Even the 3/4-inch figures right now are not in the $10 range because they're doing all this repro stuff. And so you're dealing with a $20 figure. These are collectors' items. This is adult collectors that you're not buying. And then like the Star Wars Black figures are anywhere from $30 to $50 a piece. Those are the 6-inch scale. We're not talking about like normal kids buying figures for, you know, $3 to $5. It is comprised completely out of their realm.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's high. So yeah, I get that. But yeah, but it's just, I kind of wonder where, like when that stuff could, you know, going to be an issue. I mean, I guess the, and plus like, it's like, I bought some Spider-Man toys for kids for Christmas this year. And it's like, they were just like kind of the more goofy looking cartoony ones that weren't like that cool, you know, like, so, you know, there's different levels of that kind of stuff, you know, they, even though it's like, you're talking about the ones that are looking more realistic or more like collectible-y, like there's a Spider-Man toy for everybody out there. Like, it doesn't necessarily need to be the best looking one. They're like, we make money on the cheap ones too.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, you know, I think they got burned so bad with like Force Awakens, and they became peg warmers, and stores weren't buying them. Stores have to buy them in order for them to sell them. And then there wasn't anything really Rise of Skywalker. I can tell you, I mean, it just didn't exist. I mean, there were not many figures at all. It was so. I mean, it's an interesting, and then but they're making their money on the retro figures, like the ones that only have, you know, 5 points of articulation.
Mm-hmm. 5 points of articulation. See, look at that, that's that kind of stuff where I'm like, I never realized, never thought about that before. Well, I think that takes us up to date on all the streaming wars. What do we got anything cool coming up?
You know, I don't know offhand. I mean, obviously Peacemaker, but
seems like most of the stuff that's coming out is like in theaters. I mean, in February, we get Jackass, yeah. You know? So I know we were both talking about how we're like both excited.
Easily one of the greatest franchises ever. We're
embarrassingly excited about that, where you're like, oh,
I'm not embarrassed.
Shouldn't be this into it, but also they're just so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know any shows that are dropping in the next month or so. Sorry, everybody. I'm sure that sounds great. Well, I mean, I know you've already got your tickets February 13th for Magic Mike Galentine's Day, so you can give us the full report on that.
Well,
Uncharted is getting dumped in February, so that tells you how great a movie that is.
Oh, that's gonna see what I'm saying. Okay, right there. Let's go back to Tom Holland. This movie has a potential of flopping in a horrendous way, and that's why he needs Marvel as much as Marvel needs him. Mm-hmm. They need that Tom Holland's opus juice to be sprayed on it.
Yeah. So I think that March is when we really got some good stuff coming out with Batman. I think we're supposed to get Moon Knight then, and then. Well, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 comes out in April, but who gives a shit?
No.
Yeah. So, we'll have to stay tuned, see if anything good comes up. Maybe, you know what we should do is our next episode should be Sam and Mo's watch things. The other one has told the other one to watch like 10 times and they finally listen. So, like,
oh, so you're going to watch Doom Patrol?
Yeah. I was going to say, I need to watch Doom Patrol and Heat, and you need to watch Eternals and.
Oh, God damn you.
Deadwood or something like that. I don't know. Oh, I don't know what the show is.
How many seasons do I had to watch?
It's only three. It's short.
Maybe.
What's Doom Patrol? How many seasons is that?
Three.
Yeah. See, look at, I made a nice even Steven split for you.
Okay. All right. So I will do Deadwood. You do Doom Patrol and Heat. And I'll watch Eternals.
And I'll, you know, and just to help suffer with you, I will rewatch Eternals, which I'm having a hard time understanding why people are being so nice to it. It's did it have some interesting stuff in it? Sure. Did it have a giant celestial in it? Cool. was it a good movie? Do I ever want to, did I want to watch again? I've tried to rewatch it again and I've gotten through like a half hour of it. And I think it's been in two sit downs and both times.
Is it almost 3 hours too?
It's like 2.5. Like, yeah. And I've texted you both times being like, oh man, there is some cringeworthy dialogue in this beginning. And like, oh man, I do not care about this first action scene whatsoever. You know? So it's just kind of wild to me that it's like, getting so it's not that it's like getting blown or anything, but it's people are being so overly like, you know, it wasn't great, but
because I think
it was good.
The identity politics in it is so strong, it puts armor around it. Because if you say that you don't like it, you become some sort of bad person.
It's like, you know, that's the thing. I liked the gay character in it. I liked the deaf lady in it. I liked the cast. It's just, I just didn't care about the characters. And it's like, so they can't die and they live forever.
Sam, I need you to know this. And every time I hear people similar to you with such an affinity to X-Men, what if, and it's a high possibility, they could do this to you. In X-Men, they could eternalize X-Men, and you would be very, very upset.
Well, here's the thing:
You don't have to
woke up the X-Men. The X-Men are woke enough. The X-Men
why they have to.
We've got a Russian and an African and a German and a Jewish person and a Canadian
but Sam,
good old American boy with ruby quartz glasses. And
if you don't have a Canadian playing that role, and if you don't have a real Russian playing that role, it's going to be a problem. And that's
fine. We'll get the guy that played Drago's son. You can't play Colossus.
No, you can't. You got to wait. You've got to wait it out.
That's why I'm less worried about it. And like, yeah, are there changes they've made in the comics over the last whatever years that changes some of these guys? Sure. I mean, Iceman became gay after being like in the comics for like 70 years.
But if they're not really gay in real life, then you can't have it. So we've got to
wait.
And
that's where I feel like we're getting
7 years.
We're so getting like a little ahead of ourselves with this, like, this needs to be played by this. And I get it. Like,
I'm telling you.
I get it. Like, if you want more representation from like deaf people can't get acting jobs or trans people can't get acting jobs or whatever, I totally get it. But at the same time, it's like, well, when you cast Scarlett Johansson to be in a movie, it's because you want her star power. It's not because that's less to do with she's the best fit for the role because she knows about like how to be trans, and it's more about like, oh cool, we got this star that's gonna, you know, like we've given so
Scarlet
many
Witch is trans now.
No, Scarlett Johansson was gonna play a trans role, I think, and then she got a ton of flack about
that's
it.
That's right.
And so it's like, and I get it, like, I mean, but I mean, it's like, you know, maybe there's just not like, there's how many trans actors are there? I'm sure we get a shit, like, there's a lot, but it's like, okay, but like, not as many as there are, you know,
roles.
Women actors or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's just sometimes it's like, and there's not, it's kind of like Shane Gillis said, like, if you want rights in this country, just put together a hell of a football team. You know, so that's one thing that I think we should re-recommend is Shane Gillis's Hour stand-up.
On live in Austin. I agree.
Hilarious. And I'll admit it changed my mind on him a little bit. Cause I always thought he was a little bit of like, maybe the same thing that people tag Joe Rogan with, like, oh, he's just this Republican, like a comedian or whatever. And like, listening to him, I was like, oh no, he's got some in-depth like thoughts on things.
Yeah.
And he will make, you know, kind of like Bill Burr, like he makes fun of both sides. And you just can't just get mad at the thing he made fun of you about. Like, you got to have a sense of humor about yourself. So
yep.
if you can't laugh at yourself, then you can't laugh at anybody. But yeah, no, he's good. And I enjoy when they do those big pods on Rogan when it's the four of them. Even though there's so many of them trying to get jokes in, you'll notice they'll repeat jokes to get when, because they notice nobody listened to that last time and that was really funny, I'm gonna say it again.
Yeah, Norman's the worst at it, but
he's a little annoying with it sometimes, but
I love Norman's the way he, but I know that he grates some people's nerves, and then I think Ari is Ari, and what you have to understand about Ari is that he's a very, very great dude who, you know, Joe brought him in like from being, you know, working a ticket booth at the comedy store and he is paying it forward with other comedians like Shane. Mm-hmm. So I mean it's very
I love how much Ari promotes other comedians.
Oh,
there's some guys like I I'm blanking on one of the comedians' name, but a guy.
Well, and Ari Shaffir, Jew, that whole hour was recorded and never was released, because I think it came out with the Kobe thing, or it was about to come out, and then the Kobe thing happened, and so it basically combusted in his face.
Oh, so he has an hour special that can't get released,
basically.
Who owns it? Like Netflix or something?
He owns it.
Oh, that's why doesn't he just put it out? He should just do what Louis does.
I don't know. There's more to the story, but I don't know what it is. I know that he was having trouble finding a venue to film it, so he may never have actually filmed it.
Okay, that'd be tough to film it and be like, I can't put it out,
because
like,
he was going to do it in a synagogue.
Oh, you know, and that's funny. That's when I saw him, is when he was doing a ton of religion stuff, and he had a great joke about like realizing that you think something about real life, and then realizing it was something you learned from like church.
I guarantee you heard part of his Jew hour.
Oh, well, yeah. So it was great. He was talking about how he was like, what about the extra rib? And then the doctor was like, what? He goes, well, don't I have one side with one extra rib than the other? And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, Jesus, God took the rib from the man and made the one. And he's like, no, you have the same amount of ribs on both sides, you idiot. And he's like, the fuck? I was like, oh my God. It's like, it's one of those things I still thought in my 30s, because that's what I grew up being told. And I was like, never like questioned it. So no, yeah, that was a good hour. And he enjoyed that. That's when we saw him. We saw Steve Simeon, who's very funny.
Steve Simone.
Steve Simone. Yeah. He's hilarious. I feel like he's like great. He's not Goody Two Shoe, but like if you're a Jim Gaffigan or a Brian Regan fan, then check out Steve Simone. He's hilarious too.
Yeah.
But like but you also don't have to be like, oh, he doesn't curse, he's not my kind. No, he's very funny. Like either way, like.
Well, and Mark Norman, I'll put the link in the show note. Mark Norman, comedy with an exclamation point.
Comedy.
That's on YouTube. I'll link it in there. You can watch it.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to link a couple of these YouTubes to some of these things. I'm seeing Sam Morrell with my mom and stepdad next week or next month. So
very nice.
That's their Christmas present. So we're braving the Omarion variant and going to the comedy club in Sacramento.
Hopefully, you just get a little tickle in your throat. You'll be all right.
Oh, you know, I've had a lot of people around me get it, and I feel like they maybe should study my red blood cells, white blood cells, all the blood cells, and just, you know, I hear they're great.
Your
blood
cells.
Some of the best blood cells. So
we'll all get Sam injections.
I might have been the key all this time, because, you know, granted, I get boosted. I've been boosted and everything, but I've been around a lot of people that have gotten it, and I haven't gotten it. Like my fiance had it for 10 days, and I waited on her hand and foot, and I was good. Didn't stay in the same room for too long without a mask.
There we go. All right, Sam. Well, let's pack it in and we'll reconvene when we have to reconvene.
Yeah, we've got homework to do. So yes. Maybe we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. We'll be back before Batman. That's what we should promise.
Okay, we'll promise that.
Maybe we'll have to do a Super Bowl episode with my Niners, since they're in the NFC Championship game. Talking shit. Going to go down to LA and beat those Rams a third time.
Don't remind me, Big Ben threw everything.
Oh, are you a Steelers fan? You have no chance. We did. Big Ben's 100.
They didn't. I don't know what the problem is. They're not playing. Looking at, like, they need another quarterback.